Well, this is my last time to be with the congregation here at Pershing Boulevard, and I would feel remiss if I did not take this opportunity to express appreciation to this local group of folks for your willingness to have this discussion and this debate. It says a great deal about your concern for truth. And you have been hospitable toward us, and we certainly appreciate it. You know, one of the things you hear sometimes in debate is one of the debaters will start fussing about the other debater not pulling up his chart. You've got to pull up this chart. You've got to pull up that chart. No, your charts are to illustrate your point. Lord willing, your charts are not your point in and of themselves. Now, I am obligated to strive to follow my opponent and to strive to answer the argument. I'm sorry that Mr. Weatherly has not heard our responses this evening and must have not heard what I said last night. So hopefully he can listen better in the future. Mr. Weatherly has just really waxed the elephant here about me saying the Father is not deity. I never said the Father is not deity. I don't believe that. That's his false conclusion. It's not my problem that he doesn't understand the difference between divine essence and divine attributes. I'm sure if you'll consult with Mr. Thayer and Mr. Vines that he likes to quote from, they'll explain it all to him. I guess we probably do agree about Gene Cook, but this wouldn't be the time to talk about that, Jason. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and that term with has to do with relationship. It's not just an idea. It's not just a plan that became flesh. The Word was with God. And by the way, Hebrews 1:2 describes the creation scene, speaking of the Son. Now, he goes to Acts chapter 9 and verse 5 and Isaiah 68. Let me tell you what's going on. And sometimes it can make an appeal to some audiences. It's one of the more shallow approaches to dealing with these kinds of issues. But especially with Oneness Pentecostal debaters, we get a lot of cross-referencing with passages that either a term is defined differently or really completely unrelated. And so he goes to A, he goes to B, that must mean C, and we all shake our head. The problem is they are not equivalent. They are not parallel. He has asserted a lot of things tonight. He hasn't proven or demonstrated regarding Isaiah 68. Yes, Jesus is Lord. We talked about 2 Corinthians 3:17. You want to talk about not dealing with argument? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Did he say much about that? He just keeps repeating 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is the Holy Spirit. I explained that to you. We read that quote from Adam Clark. We talked about the Old Testament and the New Testament and reading from Moses and reading from Christ. Mr. Weatherly, look at the context. You've been lecturing me about looking at the context. You need to look at the context. So this, and I would just tell you, in your study of the Word of God, you ought to be able to appreciate this. You know, Mr. Weatherly and I have some common feelings about the end of time. He's not a premillennialist. He's not a dispensational premillennialist, are you, Mr. Weatherly? So he and I have a lot of agreement about that. And he and I both know that one of the things premillennialists do is the very thing he's been guilty of tonight and last night. They cross-reference a lot of unrelated passages, throw them all in one bucket, and don't really define their terms. You're 121. I tell you what. We'll come back to that, number 60. Now, before you move, notice this. Did deity pray, suffer, and die? Mr. Weatherly believes, you know, here's the thing. You say to us, the Son of God prayed. And the Son of God suffered. And the Son of God died. And then you tell us, but God didn't do these things. So his idea is not that God condescended and humbled and limited himself. His idea is not the Son distinct from the Father in his totality is both divinity and humanity. He thinks the Father's the divinity. The Son is only human. If you tell me the Son of God died, but then you tell me God didn't, what in the world does that leave us with? Now that's what he has. And he can get up here and say, well, I never said. Well, here's what you said, Mr. Weatherly. You said God didn't do it, and then you told us the Son did do it, and when you get done with that, the Son is only human. That's the one that's Pentecostal position. That's kind of what Mr. Bernard says. You know Mr. Bernard. I think you probably know him pretty well, and you sound a lot like him. You're 121. I'm glad you brought this up. Turn over there. Let's turn over there to Luke 3. This is the baptism of Jesus. Now you want to talk about absurdity. This is absurdity. This is the one that's Pentecostal position. Luke 3 and verse 20. Added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus... Who is that Jesus? Is that the divine Jesus? He says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying... I guess that's just the human. Did he ever tell us if he believed the human spirit, divine spirit? Man, we've been asking that question this week. Would he please tell us? I think that's what he believes. He says, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. That's Jesus. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. So really what we have is Jesus is anointing Jesus with Jesus. Huh? Is Jesus a ventriloquist projecting his own voice upon Jesus? That's what he believes. That's what he believes. That's his 121. By the way, hold my time. Do y'all have the chart? And I'm trying to remember. Maybe you can help me. Where you have God on this side and the Son on this side. Yeah, that's it. Right, that's it. 105. There we go. Now, was he answering prayer and offering prayer at the same time? Or are there two spirits? Two spirits. That's the story, by the way. You might look that up on Wikipedia or something. Gives rest and rest, same time. Omnipresent and at one place. We got to have two spirits in there. Omnipresent and at one place. Eternal and born. Father and Son. Now I'm going to show you some. I don't have my laser pointer. Father here is under what? Deity. Son is here. Now I agree the Son is human. But if the Father is the deity. Now remember, he's talking about Jesus Christ. If the Father is deity, what's the distinction between the Father and the Son? One is Pentecostal tell us the distinction between deity and humanity. This is where the rubber is going to hit the road. Because when our oneness Pentecostal friends, and I mean this in love, but when our oneness Pentecostal friends look at the Son, distinct from the Father, distinct from the Holy Spirit, he is only humanity. That's all he is. Distinct from the Father. Because you see, the Father's the divinity. He tells you right here, who's the Son? Can he really take this chart and say the Son is God? The only way he can say the Son is God is because the Father is in him. He's playing word games with you. And ladies and gentlemen, and Mr. Weatherly, I want to tell you, every false teacher does that. They all redefine the term. They all cross-reference passages that don't belong together. So you need to read and look at the Scriptures and ask, what about Hebrews 1:8? Turn over there in your Bible again. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. Look at this with me. This is a problem for you, Mr. Weatherly. Now, I know he'd like to say, God is thy throne. But under the sun he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So God the Father says about the Son, thy throne, O God. But then look at verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. By the way, if you'll read verse 9, you'll know why most scholars know verse 8 doesn't mean God is thy throne. Read that passage. Check it out. Check it out. And John 10, number 105, Don, I believe, you're asserting this. He said, well, where did Bruce ever, you know, we're getting back to the basics. Where did Bruce ever bring up John 10? John 10. Well, let's check this out. Number 105, I believe. Up there. Oh, that's the... It must be yours. That's okay. Let me just deal with it. John 10. John 10. I and my Father are one. Now, he doesn't think the body is deity. Who's I? Is that only human? Is that just a human spirit? There we go. Thank you. I'll pay you extra after this is over. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if I and my Father are one, means the Father and the Son are one person, then I guess we need to figure out who Paul is. Because I and Apollos are one would mean Paul and Apollos are one person. That's not what John 10:30 is teaching. It is teaching unity. And, you know, Mr. Weatherly, this was kind of nifty. You tried to pull a fast one on us. You went over there to Mark where it was citing Deuteronomy 6:4. Well, no, I didn't turn over there to Mark. I went to the passage Mark was citing. I went to Deuteronomy 6:4, which we talked about last night. So to say I didn't respond to that, and you know he said, we've proven about Ekhot. Did you hear him say that? We've proven. He admits 60 times it means what I'm telling you. Now that's his admission. 900. I heard you say 900. But what are you going to do? You just going to chunk the 60 and not think about the context? The Lord our God is one Lord. And we're talking about the mediator. This mediator argument, I know you think it's a dandy, but it's not. You mentioned, to be a mediator, you have to equally partake of the nature of both parties. Listen to me, please. You represent. Now, how is only a human, the man Christ Jesus, if that's how you're going to define him, how is he going to represent man and God if the only, when you talk about God, that's the Father. So he's representing to the Father, but he is the Father. And you said this was toward and for. Toward who? Himself? Toward himself? It was toward and for, you said. And regarding, you might go back to John 16:13. You're talking about things that we have not heard a lot about. It's John 16:13. In John 16:13, it's this big gaping hole for Mr. Weatherly. And, by the way, I looked at the... He said, where did Bruce ever talk about the Spirit of Christ? Well, let me tell you, I did. I told him how he was the Spirit of Christ. John 16:13. Now, Mr. Weatherly believes the Holy Spirit... He hadn't said boo about this. Hadn't said anything about it. John 16:13. We'll take out on his own authority. You like, and I kind of do too. I kind of agree with you about it. That you said source. We'll say that. Speaks from himself. The Holy Spirit does not speak from himself, is what Jesus is saying. But as he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, you know those Jehovah's Witnesses we've been talking a lot about this week? They say the Holy Spirit is just energy. Not really a person. Mr. Weller doesn't believe that. He believes the Holy Spirit is the Father, and the Father is the Spirit. But this passage says the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own authority or from himself, but whatever he hears from, I guess, himself, he will speak, according to Mr. Weatherly. So the one who's Pentecostals are going to have to find a way to X out not. And you're going to have to do that. Listen, I love you, and I know some of you right now don't like me very much, but I wouldn't be here telling you this if I didn't love you. I know Mr. Weatherly does too, but I'm here in defense of the truth. We both have spent months preparing for this debate because we care about you, and I care about you. And I respect you on many points, but this is a dangerous, dangerous doctrine that has been put before you. John 15. Let's turn over there. John 15. John 15. Mr. Weatherly went here.
Go here.
You know, there's a plurality of persons in here in a lot of different ways. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. There's only a human true vine. But then let's keep going. Every branch in me. Did he? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Okay, let me crank up again here. Okay. John 15 and verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, and I'll pay you later for that. Thank you. He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you. This is a plurality of persons here we're talking about. There in John 15. Every branch in me. Now, Mr. Weatherly, you have misrepresented Hebrews 2. I want to turn over to Hebrews 2, if we can turn over there. By the way, as you're turning over there, that thing about Acts 11 and Acts 2, it's still two occurrences. That's why isos is used. Now, he is battling mightily with the facts here. I mean, the facts are his enemy. Equal demands more than one. Now, I mean, whether somebody wants to get upset or not, it's all irrelevant to me. That Philippians 2:6 proves more than one. So there's two occurrences there. But Hebrews 2. Let's look at Hebrews 2. Mr. Weatherly, I think you've misrepresented this text. The point here is one nature. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's turn over there. You know, let's pick up in this context a little bit. You know, this text tells us who suffered and died. Who suffered and died? Who was it? Now, you know, we've been studying about Philippians 2, who in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself, made himself no reputation. Who was that? How did he do that? According to Mr. Weller, the Father never limited himself. He was up in heaven and down on earth. That's the divinity. So who was it who emptied himself? I don't think he really thinks anybody emptied himself or in a sense of limitation. And the Son never had anything to limit. He's just the human. Now, Hebrews 2 and verse 9, but we see Jesus. Who was that Jesus? That's the Jesus over there in Hebrews chapter 1, distinct from the Father. Remember that? Through him. Whom and he? Through him the worlds were created. The Son is God. Verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. Now that sounds like a divine person, and bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. That's talking about one nature. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church I will sing praise unto thee, and again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. He had children. Let's move on. Don, in that section of charts, move on down. Move on down. Move. Here it is. Who is this? Is this just part of Jesus? Jesus himself was made lower than the angels. Jesus himself suffered. Jesus himself tasted death. Jesus himself is the captain of our salvation. Did he just put on a body and create some spirit and say, go suffer for him? You see the rest? Himself! He did this. That was the sacrifice that he had made. All right. Go to 58. You know, tell you what, I need the chart, deity, pray, suffer, die. Listen. I believe with all of my heart in the deity and the humanity of the Son. With all of my heart. Distinct from the Father. And if you don't believe that, you cannot go to heaven. Not just that the Father dwelt in heaven. You must believe that the Son, distinct from the Father, is God. Mr. Weatherly does not believe. He does not believe that deity humbled itself and prayed. He keeps saying, if he prayed, he couldn't be God. He assumes that. He asserts that. Where is the evidence of that? Philippians 2 doesn't give you evidence of that. It gives you evidence of the opposite. The sacrifice he made. It doesn't mean that he gave up his divine essence. He didn't. But in function, he suffered for us. He depended on his Father. So if you say, well, God's not involved in that, then you have only humanity suffering. How did only humanity tasting death atone for the sins of the world? And how is that any different in Mr. Weatherly's theology than it is every time someone is martyred for Christ? What's the difference? He believes believers are indwelt by the Spirit. Now, Mr. Weatherly, on this divine spirit of the flesh limited to the point of suffering, here's the thing. Look at the top. Here's what is being asked. Who prayed? Who suffered? And who died? Well, he's told you. God didn't do that. So he's not going to pick number 3. And he says he don't want to pick number 2. But then, by the way, by God dying, the divine spirit separated from the body, atoned the sins of the world. Over here, he's telling us only humanity. And what he means is you've got this divine spirit, and you've, I guess, got a human spirit. So the Son is some created spirit. Now, he didn't want to come right on out and say that. We were human side and humanity and human nature. Now, I agree the Son is divine and human, distinct from the Father. I don't think that's what Mr. Weatherly is saying to you. But just a body. You know, we went over there to Luke 23:46 and he talked about breath in a body. The life, is that what died? You know, animals, I guess you might say human flesh, animal flesh, but if it's just the life principle, if it's just the life principle, how does that atone the sins of the world? In fact, you know, I know a lot of folks that got upset back in 2003 when Dr. Seal said the Son is only human, Jesus was both Lord and Christ. But I think this interpretation of Luke 23:46 is worse than that. Rather than going forward, we're going backward. We don't even have a full human up there anymore. If that's the interpretation. Now, if he's saying, and I think it seems to me this is what Mr. Weatherly is saying. is that the Father is this divine spirit and the Son is the human spirit in a human body, we still have this issue. Because if that's the case, we've got two spirits, then the Son is only human. I mean, that would have to be your conclusion. When you just look at the Son and the totality of who the Son is, you'd have just a human spirit and a human body. I don't think he thinks there's some kind of hybrid spirit. He's denying that divinity experienced this for us. Now, Matthew 27:46, Mr. Weatherly kept telling us, well, is, you know, making an argument on something I never said. He's never answered yet, really, who the me is in Matthew 27:46, but I think this chart does it. Did deity suffer, pray, and die? He says no. No. So when you talk about who hung up on that cross and who experienced death and who suffered and who prayed, I will tell you I am deeply convicted with all the love in my heart. I offer it to you. That God loved you so much that He could limit His attributes and still be God to such a point that He came to this earth and He suffered. And He prayed. And when you read that, who in the days of His flesh, that was a condescension, that was a humiliation. He was still deity, but He was limiting Himself and He was suffering for us. And the only way to get out of more than one person than Godhead is our oneness Pentecostal friends have to say that the one who prayed was not really deity. Because Mr. Weatherly knows good and well if he teaches divinity humbled itself and was truly in the flesh experiencing these things, not just watching, but experiencing them. The one who prayed is praying to the Father who's distinct from him. And in Luke 23:46, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. By the way, that spirit is the soul that went to Hades. Was that just breath of life too? Do you really want to stand before God and embrace this? I mean, haven't you ever had questions about the kind of thing you've heard from Mr. Weatherly? Yes, God loves you so much that He was willing to become flesh. He didn't just enter. He became flesh. Not just a flesh. He became and that ought to rip in our hearts and our souls and our minds. The divinity suffered. And it demands more than one person in the Godhead. Yes, the one who prayed and the one who suffered and the one who died is human. And He's also divine, distinct from the Father. Son is not only human. Do you want to stand before God? Do you want to stand before the Lord? The one who sacrificed Himself and pierced Himself. Accepting these ideas? He's the one who will judge you. It is a denial of the omnipotence of God, that God is powerful enough to limit Himself and still be God. It is a denial of divine love. It's not intended to be that, but I believe the logical conclusion is a denial of divine love so that divinity truly experienced these things. Why? To hold on to this doctrine that says there's one person in the Godhead. And all of these assertions and assumptions from these passages is not going to get Mr. Weatherly and those who accept His teaching out of that. It's just not going to do it. It demands that we believe more than one person in the Godhead. Number 60 is up there. Look at it. Here's Mr. Weatherly. Here's Mr. Weatherly. Which one are you going to pick? I know which one he picked.
that limited, and by the way, give Philippians 2 a good read when you go home. He's still God, but He loves you so much He died for you. And that wasn't just a body or life breath or life principle. This matters.
This is why this debate matters. We can get up here and fuss about three persons or one person. This is why it matters. And this is why it's a salvation issue.
And if you pick one or you pick two, I'm afraid, on the day of judgment, you're going to hear sad news. Because that would be an insult to the Lord and His grace and what He's actually done. I love Mr. Weatherly, and I love you. But I hope you'll think prayerfully about these things. Thank you.
We just want to let you know.
Okay, that's fine.
Once again, we thank you all for coming out this evening to listen to these debaters discuss the topic of the nature of God. And maybe the one thing I agree with what Mr. Reeve said this evening is that it is important. And it is of eternal consequence that we understand the nature of God and that we have an understanding of who He is, and that is of eternal importance that we know who God is. Once again, we want to say we appreciate and thank the church here for hosting this half of the debate. We appreciate all of our Church of Christ friends that come out to be with us the last two nights. And to both sides of the congregation, both our friends and the Church of Christ, both us and the Church of Christ, friends of ours, we appreciate you kindly listening to the disputants. I don't think at any point the last two evenings the audience has been disruptive, and we greatly appreciate that on both of our parts. We appreciate that very, very much. Now, Thursday and Friday night is going to be at the Highway 65 Church of Christ, where Bruce Reeves is a minister. We encourage all of you to come, and especially our people to come and be in those sessions. There's going to be an excellent discussion Thursday and Friday night, and we look very forward to that. And we are anticipating two more great nights of debate. And once again, thank all of you. And Mr. Sharp, would you like to say something? 125 off of I-40. Do you have anything else that you would like to say this evening? All right. And we want Brother Culberson to come at this time and dismiss us in prayer.